Colossians 1:9, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 1:9, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 1:9. Will you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 4 is our verse for this particular session. We're dealing with the subject, transforming power of God. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Also, as we always say, realizing the importance of being properly related to Jesus Christ in fellowship, in harmony with Him as we study His Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful again for the opportunity which is ours now to move our thoughts away from other things and to this magnificent Scripture, the wonderful Word of God. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. In Jesus' name, amen. The 9th chapter of the book of Acts is a magnificent chapter because it deals with the conversion of a man, Saul of Tarsus. This is a very, very important passage of Scripture. We're going to begin in a few moments with chapter 9, verse 1. And move along through the chapter. So if you will, open your Bibles to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. On the screen you see Acts 9:4. We'll begin reading, however, with Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? We'll read on in a few moments, but let me ask you, if you will, to take a look at the verse that's on the screen before you. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. He fell to the earth and heard a voice. We pause for a moment to let you see that he fell to the earth. And the Greek word is pipto, P-I-P-T-O. If you'll notice the way the word is used, it is the aorist active participle, nominative masculine singular. Why do I emphasize this? The aorist tense emphasizes a point of time. The active voice says, this man fell. The participle reveals the circumstances. So he fell to the earth. And then the scripture says, he heard a voice. Most of us are familiar with the word voice, which is P-H-O-N-E-N here. But most of all, we need to see that here this man, Saul of Tarsus, is hearing something at a point of time. The subject produces the action. He's doing it. The indicative mood is the mood of reality. He fell to the earth and heard a voice. What all of us realize is that God is always in the business of transforming. And the emphasis here is upon the transforming power of God in the life of Saul of Tarsus. Why do you persecute me? Let's read on now. In Acts chapter 9, looking again at verse 3 and 4, it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, verse 5, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Rise, enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. Verse 7 of Acts 9, and the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground. Though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. Please pay very close attention to that and see what's being said. He was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, it's always best to respond when the Lord speaks. So Ananias said, behold, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. Inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. Now I want you to be able to see something is taking place here. We find that the Lord speaks to this man, Ananias. And Ananias knows a lot about this guy, Saul of Tarsus. And the Lord says to him, go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he's praying. And he has seen in a vision, a man named Ananias. That's the guy he's talking to. Come in and laid his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Now, I want you to be able to see immediately, since Ananias knows some things about Saul of Tarsus, would he, for instance, be in a state of concern? Would he be somewhat a little bit perplexed about the fact that the Lord is giving him instructions now of saying some things to him that he really doesn't want to do? Have you ever had that happen to you? Okay, let's look at it. Notice, if you will, please. Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon thy name. I want you to get the picture, the mental picture of what's going on here. Do you think Ananias has some concern? Does he have reason for concern? Then look at verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name to the Jews? No, to the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. I'm not sure where you are in your thinking, but I'd like to take you to the fact that beginning with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, we see that God worked and is working in the life of individuals in relationship to the age of Israel. I want you to be able to see with me that throughout those chapters of the Old Testament, beginning with chapter 12 of Genesis, God had a plan for the Jews. They had their ups and downs, as all of us know, and God had a plan, and their thoughts were that the plan would continue, then the tribulation would take place in the millennium. That's what they were seeing. They had their ups and downs. They refused to fulfill God's plan. And God had a plan for the message to be given to the Gentiles. Out of all the things you see in the Old Testament, you will discover that here is something new taking place. This is an emphasis upon a person who is a Jew. Mean, cruel, ungodly, unholy. Killing believers. And here something takes place in his life. And Ananias is concerned about his own life because of what he knows about this man, Saul of Tarsus. But the Lord is giving instruction here. Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. Verse 16 of Acts chapter 9, I hope you're following. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. If you'll notice here that the Lord is saying to Ananias, I want you to understand some things about this fellow. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Most of you are familiar with the fact that over the coming years after this event, he went through, Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, went through a tremendous amount of times of suffering in his life. They're listed in the Scripture. So many difficulties, so many problems. At many times he was brought to the point when it appeared that he would be killed. That's exactly what the Lord is saying here in verse 16. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, Ananias departed, entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, and this is beautiful, I want you to see it, brother Saul, wow. In other words, what happens here is, God is giving Ananias the ability to see that he's at work. The transforming power of God. He's at work. What I'm trying to say to you today is, he is at work today. He is at work, I believe, in your life and mine. And we must see this. We must be aware of this. We must be cognizant of the fact that God has a reason and a purpose for our being here at this particular time in history. Your existence now is not an accident. My existence now is not an accident. God has a reason for us being here at this particular time. What is Ananias saying? Brother Saul? Read on. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know of anything to do other than just read the Scripture. I have a lot of notes, a lot of things I wanted to say. But I determined in my own heart that what I need to do is to let you see with me how magnificent God is and how He works. Don't take for one moment lightly God's working in your life as we see it manifested in this person's life. Brother Saul, why would he say that? Why would he say, Brother Saul? I think you already have the answer. The Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared to you, verse 17, on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Read on. Verse 18 of Acts chapter 9, and immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. I pause with you for a moment to let you see that it says, and immediately. God is in the business of working, and oftentimes, immediately. There fell from his eyes something like scales. He regained his sight. He arose and was baptized. He took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately, verse 20, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues. Notice where he was going. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. What I would like for you to do for a moment is to look again at this verse 4. He fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? In your mind, take a look over a period of time how God moves in the life of this individual. What's amazing to me was that he didn't go to have a meeting with the disciples. He didn't go to get information from any of them. The scripture reveals that he sent him off to a seminary 3 years in the Arabian desert. We could talk about that a lot, but all I'm trying to do is to let you see that what God did is that he worked a miracle in the life, the transforming power of God in the life of this man, and God moved him in a ministry to the Gentiles. Time passed. We come now to 61 A.D. And 61 A.D. is revealed to us in Acts 28:16. And when he came to Rome, the centurion permitted Paul to remain by himself with a soldier guarding him. I'm letting you put a lot of things together, but I want you to be able to see how over a period of time God worked in the life of this man. You have all of the proclamation, various places, the missionary journeys, all of this, but I want you to see what's taking place in 61 A.D. And when he came to Rome, the centurion permitted Paul to remain by himself with a soldier guarding him. In that same chapter, 28, Acts, go down to verse 30, and Paul remained 2 whole years in his own rented apartment. I'm aware of the fact that the scripture says hired place. I put it in like this for you to be able to see, which I believe presents it. Paul remained 2 whole years in his own rented apartment and welcomed all that came to visit him. Now notice, if you will, please, and we're going to look at this. Paul remained 2 whole years in that rented apartment and welcomed all that came to visit him. The verbs are important here. We'll notice, we've said this many times, and I want to emphasize it again. When you have an active voice in the Greek, the subject produces the action. When you have a passive voice, the subject receives the action. And you're telling me now, yes, preacher, I've heard this many times. Yes, you're hearing it again. The middle voice says, normally the subject participates in the action. And if it's positive, the subject is benefited. If it's negative, the subject is not benefited. That's the middle voice. This is what we have here. Two words, both of them, middle voice. And that's the reason why I feel like I need to just shout this out to you. It says, Paul remained 2 whole years in his own rented apartment, and he welcomed, and there it is, the word welcome. He welcomed all those who came, second word, to visit with him. The imperfect tense means continuous action in past time. Middle voice, welcomed. Indicative mood, reality. All those who came, PROS, face to face with him. Present, middle, participle of eis poruomai. Poruomai is the word which means to go, and these are individuals who came to visit with him, and they were benefited by it. In 62 AD, we discover that the Apostle Paul, the human author, the date 62, it appears that Paul arrived in Rome in 61 AD as a prisoner, and for 2 years lived in his own rented hired house, where he received those who came to visit. This information is presented in the verses I've given you, Acts 28, 16, and 30. Somewhere around 62 AD, men left Rome on their way to the province of Asia, designated as the Asia Minor area. I want you to be able to see that these four men had on their persons four of the most sublime documents, compositions of the Christian faith. Rome could not, of course, comprehend the significance of these great writings of an unknown prisoner. When these four men said goodbye to the Apostle Paul, each had been given an epistle to carry to some specific area. These four letters are called the prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. Please get those in your mind. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. These four letters are called the prison epistles of Paul, since he wrote them while imprisoned in Rome, waiting a hearing from Nero, the Caesar at that time, to whom Paul, as a Roman citizen, had appealed his case. What I want to do in these moments, and these are brief moments, I just want to paint a picture. Four men and respective places. Please stay with me for just a few moments. We'll come back to this on Wednesday night. Epaphroditus is one name. Philippi, Philippians. Tychus, another name. Ephesus. Epaphras, another name. Colossae. Onesimus. When I name the name Onesimus, that should ring a bell with you. Philemon, Onesimus, a slave. The epistles present a composite picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, the life, and the interrelationship and functioning of all. These different facets present the Christian life on the highest plane. What I want to do over the coming weeks and months is to present from the Word of God the Christian life on the highest plane. I want us to be able to see that we're not to be normal, that we're really actually abnormal. Vance Havner used to say, people are so abnormal that if they became normal, they would be considered abnormal. Okay, let's look again at these four men. Very briefly, Epaphroditus from Philippi, the message of God that we find in the book of Philippians. Tychus from Ephesus had the epistle to the Ephesians. That's where we're studying now. Epaphras from Colossae had the epistle to the Colossians. Onesimus, a slave from Colossae, had the epistle of Philemon. Very, very briefly, let's look at it. You can put this down if you so desire. Scholars describe this, and they start off with the church at Philippi. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to start off with the church at Ephesus. So I took it upon myself to make a change. Ephesians. Tychus from Ephesus had the epistle to the Ephesians. Then I went to the next one. Epaphroditus from Philippi had the message to the Philippians. Then I went to the next one. Epaphras from Colossae had the epistle to the Colossians. And Philemon, Onesimus had a slave, as a slave from Colossae, had the epistle to Philemon, who was a master slave. I'm going to leave this for you to be able to see. What I want to do, and I will not do it now, I want to go with a brief overview, a glimpse of these four letters. Well, I'll just do it. I have 5 minutes. Look at it, if you will, please. Ephesians, if you're writing this down, a reference is Ephesians 6:21. Philippians, the reference is if Philippians 4:18. Colossians, the reference is Colossians 4:12. Philemon, the reference is to Philemon verse 10. When you look at this, you'll see, and this is what we want to emphasize. Ephesians presents the church as the body, the invisible church, which is Christ, with Christ as the head. What we want to do over the coming weeks and months is to let you see, as we make our way through verse by verse by verse in this magnificent 6 chapters of Ephesians, to be able to see that God wants us to move from a lower plane to a higher plane of Christian living, so that we can be what God wants us to be in the last few years of our life on this earth. Some of you are saying, what do you mean, last few years? I'm young. Yes, you are, some of you, very young. Some of you are old like the preacher, but I want you to be able to see that all of us, one of these days soon, will be leaving this life. And while we're here, however many years is left for us, God doesn't want us to stay on a lower plane. He wants us to get up on a higher spiritual plane. And that's the reason why the book of Ephesians presents the Lord, the church, as his body, the invisible church, and Jesus Christ is the head. That's where we're going to stop. Can you see how magnificent this is? We'll come back to that particular point on Wednesday night. May we pray together, please. We're at the close of the service. We don't want to leave without sharing with you the fact that God loves you so very much, and that Jesus Christ loved you so very much that he was willing to leave heaven's glory as the God-man and come to this earth to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. That simply means that any person who has yet not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior could do so. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You hear me say these verses so many times. I don't want you just to take them for granted. They're very powerful. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've not done that, you can do it now. I'm aware of the fact that there are more people listening to my voice than those in this auditorium. We have emphasizing us time and time again how many people out there around the world come to hear these words. And I do not know, God knows, who's listening right now who may need to make this important decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I promise you, upon the authority of God's Word, that He does not lie. He tells the truth, and he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have life eternal with Him. If you do not have Him as your Savior, you do not have that life. You don't have to leave this life without knowing Him personally, if you'll accept Him now. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. That simply tells us that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. The Scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You and I, as saved individuals, have nothing about which to boast. We praise the Lord for His grace and for His salvation through that grace. We close now by encouraging you again, if you've never done this, to trust Him. Father, thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the joy, the peace, and the happiness that you provide for all of us. And you allow us now to still be alive. We do not know how long for each one of us will be here. But we know that while we're here, you have a reason and a purpose and design for us. There's a reason for us still being alive. Help us to love you supremely. We pray and thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.